This morning's passage reading is found in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 to 15. If you care to follow along in your pew Bibles or keep that open during the message, it's found on page 699 of the Black Pew Bibles in your seats. And it also will be portrayed on the screens here. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This is a gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. Whatever is has already been, and whatever will be has been before. And God will call the past to account. This is the word of the Lord.
Time is it? We are very aware. I think most of us could have had a pretty good guess about what time it is. We're so obsessed with time that, well, we wear it on our wrists. Our cell phones, I look at it and right away out pops the time. I stand here and I look at the back wall and there's a clock on the wall so that I know how long I have been going on for. We are very aware of time. Some of us work in Toronto and take the GO train to get into the city. And those of us that do that or have done that are very aware of the time, so you get there at the right time to catch the train. If you're a student or if you're a teacher, you're very aware of the time because you know what time class has to begin and that bell is going to go and you start. Time is a constant. Time is a reality, something that we live in. It's like gravity. It's just there and it is inescapable. We move from 1 second to the next, 1 minute to the next, 1 day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, 1 decade, and we move unstoppably through time. We also know that our days are limited. There is a number of days which we have been given, and we will live out those days, and then we will die. We know it is true. There is no one on this earth who is 150 years old. Everybody that was born 150 years ago has died. Every single last one. And the day will come when our eyes will close in that event for us. We will die. the Lord knows this. The Lord knows our reality because he is the creator. He created, we talk about he created the animals and he created the trees and he created the sun, moon, and stars. But he also created time. And that's a philosophical riddle that plays around in the heads of those of us that are philosophically oriented. And we think, so if creation included the creation of time, and God existed before time, what does that mean? We can't even conceptualize what it means to exist without time. I used to think when I was a kid, imagining these things about God just sitting there, maybe in the Trinity, it was understood. So the three of them, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, were there all together for eternity just staring at each other. And I thought, man, what was that like for God? But if there wasn't time, maybe it wasn't monotonous. There wasn't this isn't a philosophy class. This is a church. The Lord knows all about time because he is the creator. And in this part of Ecclesiastes, this part of the Bible, this is called wisdom literature. And that means that the biblical author was inspired by God to take a look at life, to take careful measure of the experience and the realities that it contained, and come to conclusions to help us all make sense of life and how we are to live within it. The question of the text, and the great question for us to ask on this first Sunday of 2018, is what are we supposed to do with the time that we are given? How are we to understand these times that we can live and act obediently before God? Ecclesiastes 3 is a beautiful poetic section, isn't it? Even as Peg was reading it, I just thought, I wish that you could have kept on reading like that, because it was such beautiful words, so poignant about the realities, the differences in times, and to understand them. Now, I was looking at these and I saw that some of the times that the scriptural writer talked about are experiences over which we have very little control. They are descriptive of what we experience. For example, it says there is a time to be born. Well, none of us said, I don't think I want to be born today. Actually, I don't know if I want to be born in the 1940s or 50s or 60s or 70s or 80s. We didn't pick the decade and say, no. This is going to be born in the time of the Vietnam War, and you know, there's going to be all this trouble in society. I'm going to choose to be born in the 80s. Nobody says that. Nobody has the power to do that. What happens is, against our control, it just happens that we are brought into the world all slippery and red-faced and hollering, and someone with strong hands takes us and keeps us from falling onto the floor, and here we are. We are born. And when we're born, this happened to, I bet you, just about every one of us, we come into this world, we're released from our mother's bodies, the nurse holds the kid and looks at the clock and said, write this down, this child was born at 6:32 in the morning. and it's on your chart. And it is recorded, the time in which your life as an independent being on this earth has begun. There are other times that we go through that no one would ever choose. No one would choose these times. Some of us have had the terrible duty to go to the cemetery and bury our own children. You did not choose that. You would never have chosen that. Some of us have experienced times of terrible illness. We have had cancer and gone through chemotherapy. We've had surgeries that have been terrible to go through. We've endured times of pain and fear and poverty and loss, and these are also the times of our lives, and we experience them, we endure them, they are part of our reality, but they're not chosen. Heavens no. Our responsibility in those times is not to choose them, but to go through them with grace and faith to show the world what does it mean to go through these unchosen times as the people of God. How do we demonstrate our trust and our relationship with God in those times? And those are hard times. Those are the times when we really need each other. That's when the community of God's people gathers, when there's loss, when there's pain, when there's fear, when there's brokenness, when there's disappointment. That is when we shouldn't stand alone. Those are the times that the people of God say, we are one in the Lord, and we will help each other through these times. Now, there are times when we do have the power, even the responsibility, to make decisions. We've talked about the seasons of grief, and there is a time to grieve. There is a time to mourn. It is right for us to weep when the important people in our lives are taken away, or when terrible things happen to us. It is right to grieve that kind of brokenness. But there are times also when we have to make a decision to leave that time. We grieve, but we should not grieve forever. There is a time when we have to set aside the time of mourning so that we can again dance. So that we can love again, so that we can laugh again. That is also the will of God for us, that we recognize the opportunity to dance and take it. He said that this passage is wisdom literature, and this is wisdom. It takes wisdom to know what time it is. There is a time to mourn and grieve and to cry, and there is a time to dance, to laugh, and to celebrate. The wise person is one who knows what time it is and knows what is the best use of the moments that we are given. And the best way to set our faces in the context of the times that are upon us. Sometimes it is the right time to make peace. And sometimes it is the right time to confront the evil and the brokenness and the disobedience that we see in front of us. Again, it takes wisdom to know when is the time to gather stones and when it is time to scatter them. Sometimes it is the right time to simply listen, to hear people out. And sometimes it is the time to teach and to speak and to say, this is what is right. Sometimes it is foolish for us to speak. And sometimes it is foolish to remain silent. It takes wisdom. Wisdom is found in community. The scriptures are given not to us as individuals. Although we can read it privately in our personal devotions, that's all good. But the Bible itself is not given to individuals, it is given to community. In days long past, copies of the Word were rare, and they were only held in community centers, so that people would come together so that their Word could be read, so that people could explain it, and they could receive it as community. One of the downsides, I think, of the fact that we have books everywhere and that we have multiple copies of the Bible in each home, there's almost all good about that. But I think a downside to it is that we have privatized our own understanding and sense of the Word. And we forget how communal this experience is. That's why I love the Bible reading marathon that is being renewed again this year. That as a community, we are saying we are gathering around the Word. We're reading it each on our own, but we're doing it together. And I think that's a wonderful, wonderful sign. We have to know what time it is. And we need to know how to use the time that we are given. Time is a gift, and as parents and as sons and daughters, as friends, as leaders, as mentors, we need to be sure that we are using this time in a way that is stewardly. Like, time is a gift, and every gift that God gives, we are called to use stewardly in a way that is fitting to that gift. We use the word stewardship a lot with money, and we have to be careful to not only supply our needs for home and food and support for our families, but we also need to build the kingdom of God, and that's where the stewardship comes in. But it's even more. Like, no one ever says on their deathbed, I wish I had spent more time at the office. No one ever says, I wish I hadn't wasted so much time on my kids. They say, I wish that I had smelled more flowers. I wish that I had taken the opportunity to bless more people. I wish that I had read some good books. I wish that I had developed a closer walk with the Lord. I wish that people could have seen me as a person. person of faith. But we are pressured by the world, by media, by society, by culture, to not steward the time for the kingdom, but instead just for our own pleasure, for our own advancement. Collect some toys. Experience all kinds of pleasures. Make it all about yourself. And we forget the accountability that we have for the times. My question this morning to myself and to you is, have we laughed when it was time to laugh? Have we cried together when it was time to cry? Have we taken the time to console people when they needed consolation? Have we taken the time to accept the gifts of kindness and grace that others have offered to us in our own times of hurt? Have we taught and revealed truth when the time was right and the opportunity was given by the Lord? Have we let the Spirit speak to us through others and broaden our insight into the things of God? Have we taken the time to defend the vulnerable, to stand up against injustice, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor? The times require us to ask these questions and to ask ourselves if we have found the balance in time that is God's will for us. See, the Lord wants us to be healthy families. He wants us to have the time to deepen and develop our relationship with our spouses and with our children and with our parents and with our friends and our church family. He wants us to be people of health. He wants us to take care of ourselves, to get exercise, to do the things that allow for physical and mental and emotional and spiritual health. Those are times that we need to take. We need to have the time, take the time, use the time to grow in our spiritual life. We need to be able to hear when God speaks and know how to respond. And that comes by taking the time to listen to the Lord and respond to Him. So, this is really all about discernment, I think. Discerning the times and then acting accordingly within them. Let us, brothers and sisters, let us move into this new year. Let us go into 2018. This is the first of many times we're going to gather in this place, and we will gather also in other places as the Lord scatters us and leads us. And we will move in faith in this year, knowing that the Lord is at work in time and in eternity. And because the Lord is in control, we can enjoy the times that we are given, and we can thank Him for all the gifts that He provides. This is the will of God for us, I'm convinced, by word and spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, time is a great gift. Sometimes we feel like we have all kinds of time. And sometimes it feels like time slips away. Help us to see time and to use time as your people should. Carefully and obediently and joyfully. When it is time to laugh, let us laugh together. And when it is time to weep, let us weep, but not as those who have no hope, but as those who know that you are King. We ask that others will see that we are people who mark time well. And may they, through that also, have their eyes turned to you, that they might use their time obediently and to your glory. Amen.